Welcome to The Patriot, 1776. Hi there, this is John Mady, and I am the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. If you love Bible, you love our church. If you love America, you've come to the right place. And who is the Patriot of 1776? You are, and I am. And so is everyone who loves America and wants to follow the principles of our founding fathers. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence reads like this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." If it had not been for the Patriots of 1776, we would still be paying taxes to England and still drinking a spot of tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Help us win America back, just like the Patriots of 1776 won America in the first place. I believe that America is the greatest country that the world has ever seen. It is the only country in the world that was started and based on God's Word. Our country has helped more people around the world than any other country has. We have sent more missionaries to other countries. We have spent more money on missions. When a disaster happens any place in the world, who helps the most? Of course, America. You have to say it. God has blessed America. 1776, one of the most important dates in history. We go back to 1620 when the Pilgrims landed and watch 156 years of history develop into what became the famous date, July 4th, 1776. We will go back before 1620 and find out why the Pilgrims even came here in the first place. America is a great country. The biggest percentage of our founding fathers were Christians. That is why America is so great and had such a great start. But from 1776 to 2016, something has gone terribly wrong. Actually, it is not hard to see what has gone wrong. On this program, The Patriot, 1776, we will teach Bible. We will teach history, both biblical and secular. We will teach government, and government belongs to God. And we will teach politics, which God's government becomes when godless men invade God's government. That's why it's our responsibility as Christians to occupy till he comes, and we haven't done a very good job of occupying. We're going to learn what we can do. The question is asked so many times, what can we do? What can we do? You hear that question over and over again. And we're going to do a job that will take our country back. We'll give you the help. We'll give you the things to do so that we can do that. We will interview people who are in the battle to win back America. We will review books that you should probably have and read. We will have fun doing the man on the street interviews. We will also interview pastors that are already in the battle. The idea of this program is to equip you with information to be able to talk to other people about what America is really about. Too many times, we as Americans don't know very much about how our country started. It's being taken out of the public schools. You should take notes. You should have pen and paper. You can send in questions that you have. We will give out our mailing address at the end of the program. Along with taking notes, you should have your Bible handy. In case you are wondering, we use the King James Bible. This is your radio program for your learning and for your enjoyment. And if you do enjoy our program, please let your radio station know. All right, let's get started. There are some basic things to know and to understand. One of them is called the worldview. There are two ways to look at the world. One, through the prism of God's Word. And two, with no understanding of who we are and how we got here, the philosophy of there is no God. This second view today carries the name of evolution. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. These verses explain how believers have a different view of the world than people without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin at verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't teach lost men anything. The Holy Spirit only convicts lost men of sin. As it says in verse 9, the things which eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. John 14:26 tells us that the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, shall teach us all things. Verse 14 is a key verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. First of all, the natural man is the man who has never trusted Christ as personal Savior. And then it says, receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. It tells us in Psalm 14:1 that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so the things of God are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. It simply means spiritually discerned, that they have no ability to understand the spiritual things of God's Word. This is the reason why the world hates Christians. When a person trusts Christ as personal Savior, God's Holy Spirit comes within to live. And that's when, as we read his Word, God's Holy Spirit will teach us those things. And so people who don't have Christ as personal Savior don't have God's Holy Spirit, and they can't understand the spiritual things of God's Word. Another basic thing to understand is that the world hates the Bible. Here is a book that the world doesn't pay any attention to because it doesn't believe it to be true. And it is a book that is believed and followed by a group of people who are called Christians or believers. We believers are peaceful, and all that we do is to witness to people who have not yet accepted Christ as their personal Savior. We don't go around chopping people's heads off. We don't harm anyone. And all that we do is talk. So why does the world hate that book? Because God's Word is our final authority for our faith and practice, and we live our lives according to that Word. Romans 12:1-2, our lives scream out to lost people, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some scripture starting with Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's an amazing thing. Look at the end of verse 1, which is your reasonable service. For us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that's just our reasonable service. And in verse 2, it says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can prove what God has for us. We can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you take the end of verse 1 and the last part of verse 2, verse 1, your reasonable service, verse 2, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Titus 2:11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." When we take a look at that, it says the grace of God, grace, unmerited favor, grace, nothing that we deserve. And it says God's grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. There is no one who will, that is ever born, who will ever be able to say, "I didn't know." Because God's grace, God's salvation appears to all men so that everyone in the whole world who has ever been born will fully understand what his grace is and what salvation is. Romans chapter 1 explains pretty good. Romans chapter 1 and beginning in verse number 18, and we'll go through about 10 verses or so. And in beginning in verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So now this verse simply says that God's wrath is revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So it's talking about lost people. Every lost person knows about the wrath of God. And in verse 19, it says because. It starts out because. Because, that because is because of Titus 2:11. "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And the wrath of God hath appeared to all men, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them." So God tells everyone. God lets it be known to everyone. And God tells everyone about his salvation, and he tells them about the rejection of his salvation and the wrath of and his wrath. In verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them." And in verse number 20, further explanation. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We start out with the invisible things, those things which cannot be perceived by our five senses. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, if I can't see it, I don't believe it"? Well, this says, yes, they do. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Well, how is it that they can see them? How is it that they're clearly seen? Clearly seen means that there is a way by which we can come to this knowledge. And the way that we can come to this knowledge is in the rest of the verse, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. His creation. His creation. By his creation, Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And so, being understood by the things that are made, people can look at God's creation and know everything about God. And the next phrase, "being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So, those are invisible. And they're clearly seen because of God's creation. His creation made it so man cannot look at his creation and say, there is no God, with a straight face and be honest. So that the last phrase of this, when it says in the last part of verse 20, so that they are without excuse, there will be no one that will be able to stand before the judgment of God and to be able to say, well, I didn't know. No one ever told me. I just didn't know. And when you put Titus 2:11 and the end of verse 20 together, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, so that they are without excuse. Well, why is it that they do that? Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When they knew God does not mean that they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. When they knew God means that God's Holy Spirit convicted them of sin, and then they made a choice, and the choice was, no, thank you. And it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him as God, neither were thankful. So they said to God, no, thank you. And when they said no, thank you to God, the next phrase of verse 21, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, when they became vain in their imaginations, they turned their affections away from God and toward his creation. And when it was darkened, they began thinking without the conviction of God's Holy Spirit. And whenever man is left to himself and not taught anything, he goes in the wrong direction. It's the same thing with a little child. You don't have to teach a baby or a toddler how to sin. They learn that all because all by themselves, because it's just natural for mankind to sin. And so after lost men say to God, no thank you, in verse 22, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became void of understanding and of morals. In the Communist Manifesto, Marx emphasized that there is no God. For all the communist countries around the world, how did that work out for the people? No God, no freedom, no morals. And in verse number 23, when they rejected God, and when they professed themselves to be wise and became fools, the next thing they did, in verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. The first thing we want to look at here is they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. The uncorruptible God. God is perfect, unchangeable, indestructible. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He's eternal. He created us and wants the best for us. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so it's our duty and our job to stay close to the Lord and allow him to bless us. Look at verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The first thing we look at here is wherefore God also gave them up. Gave them up? Well, he allowed them to think in terms of their own sinful flesh, or without the help of God's Holy Spirit. He ceased to restrain them. he allowed them just to go on their own and do what they wanted to. And then it says he gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Lusts, they would follow their own evil, sinful, natural desires of the flesh, no holds barred, and to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, to disgrace one another by unlawful acts towards one another. Verse 25 pretty much sums up verses 20 through 24. Verse 25 says that after this, they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The first thing we want to look at in this verse is they changed the truth of God. Where is it that we get the truth? Where is the only place that we can know for sure that truth exists? It's only in God's Word, and they changed it. This is why there's so many different versions of the Bible, because people want to change things to make it the way they think God should be. They change the truth. This is what godless people do. Why would they want to change the truth? If they told the desires of their heart and what they really want to do, no one would listen to them or like their ideas. When we get into evolution, you will begin understanding how God's Word is right up to date. And then it says it changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Worshiped and served the creature. Ever hear of animal rights activists? Ever hear of environmentalist wackos? God put us in charge of the environment and animals, but when godless people are in charge, they go to extremes. Ever hear of people who want to get an attorney for animals? Verses 26 and 27 tell how far godless people will go when the restrainer or the Holy Spirit stops holding godless people back from their own lusts and desires. And in verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Vile affections, disgraceful passions, the most indelicate, vile, and degrading sin that can be charged to mankind. This is another large category we will cover later. Our government has passed laws to protect and promote sodomy, but God's laws never change. And in verse number 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Verse 26 covers women, and verse 27 covers men. God has never approved of the homosexual lifestyle. It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. So what do these verses mean? I think the verse 28 tells again how these things came to be. What do they mean? Man left to himself makes an enormous mess out of life. It says in verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. When we look at that and it says not convenient, it's saying those things are not fit nor proper to do. Things that are disgraceful and shameful and sinful. It's an amazing thing about God's Word. Because when God tells us, don't do this, don't do that, He's not telling us to keep us from having fun. He's telling us because He knows those things will go bad for the person that does them. And we can prove these things that that are sinful and wrong, homosexuality, for instance, and we can prove without God's word that it's bad. You can look at the list of things that are not helpful to homosexuals, and you can see that they do lead tough lives. And so we're going to get into that subject one of these times, and we're going to talk about that, make a full study of it, so that people will know and understand. Here's just one thing to tell you about that. There are groups of people who were homosexuals, and they trusted Christ as personal Savior, and they became Christians. And it's an amazing thing. Their lives changed. We're going to take a look at those things, and we're going to see what they're like, and we're going to find out from some of these people just what it is that God does when He changes someone's life. I'm so grateful and thankful that we have the way that homosexuals can be saved. And they can be saved the same way that anyone else can be saved. Homosexuality isn't just a really bad, terrible thing. Homosexuality is something that God allows them to get into because He leaves them on their own. But homosexuals are lost people too, just like everyone else. And we need to talk to them, and we need to win them to Christ. We don't hate them. We just hate their sin. But we have an opportunity to win homosexuals, and we'll do it. Well, we're coming to the close of the program, and our mailing address is The Patriot, 1776, 14505, Nathan Hale Lane. Hale is spelled H-A-L-E, and it's in North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Help us to stay on the air, and for everyone who sends a gift offering of at least $25, we will send you a 92-page book that your host wrote. The name of that book is When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? This book gives you a better understanding of the relationship of God's government and God's Word. The address again, The Patriot, 1776, 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Until next time, we'll see you again. Bye now.